Check, check. Okay, so Romans 12, saved to serve. Kind of questions or comments you have on today's sermon?
No spiritual gifts test and questionnaire. I mean, where was that? Come on.
Yeah, so, you know, it's kind of funny because just to let you in on the joke, when I got here to pastor, there were very few things in that office over there. One of the things that was in there was everybody who was a member here at the time had done a spiritual gifts test. A very long, intricate spiritual gift test so they could know what their spiritual gifts were. And, you know, you've maybe been part of churches that have done this long, intricate thing to try to figure out what your spiritual gifts are. And I think, you know, and then they want to use it as a hammer over your head to serve or fill in the blanks or the gaps they might have in their multiple ministries. Oftentimes. Otherwise, they're really maybe trying to legitimately help you find your spiritual gifts, but they're questions that come, non-biblical questions. You know, we didn't look at all the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians, but the spiritual gifts are listed. There's some of those that are in the apostolic era and no longer needed. The spiritual gifts we went over today, every one of you, every believer, has been given a measure of faith that includes all of those to some extent, but certainly includes some of those more than others. And you hopefully today you were able to listen and hear maybe what God has given you a measure of faith to be using to serve the body.
So, Pastor, is the list Paul gave us today, is that an exhaustive list?
No. So, you know, the measure of faith given, it's not exhaustive because, one, you can't include everything that's going to happen as we go out and do the work of the Lord. So that list between 1 Corinthians list, between everything else that's given to us in our Bible, is complete. There are no spiritual gifts beyond that to speak of. But, you know, discernment. You know, people talk about discernment. Discernment is certainly a biblical concept, but it would be inside of lots of these other things that we're looking at. So I would not call that list exhaustive, I don't think, in the way you're asking the question. Does anybody have testimony of listening today and maybe having some clarity on the measure of faith that God's given you, the giftedness that God's given you that ought to be being used or is being used or ought to be being used inside for the good of the body of Christ? I mean, it was very affirming for me to go through this and prepare for this, because I can recognize the measure of faith that God's given me in each of these areas, really. And I can see how I'm doing those things that seem to be right in the wheelhouse. And I guess it's, you know, so none of us are above serving. We're all to serve. But that's not God has not called me to that mostly. Because if I were to spend my time serving, more taking care of physical needs, then I wouldn't have the time to teach and preach that I do. I don't know if the microphone, Brad.
Expound more on the measure of faith.
All right.
You know, so what you just said, I think in the last couple minutes, is a measure of faith in these specific areas. So what I gleaned is that we all have a faith, but this measurement is in these specific categories.
Yeah, so I said briefly in the sermon today, so here's what it says in verse 4, "For as we have many members..." Nope. Verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So, God's given you a measure of faith. He's given you a certain amount of... Now, faith, salvific faith, we all get the same amount. Whatever that means, 100%. I mean, we get faith, salvific, to be saved, the faith that we get. But the measure of faith here is the amount of grace or faith to live out these things that God's called the church to be and to do. So, God is... So again, I want to be careful because Emily can preach the gospel to people. I mean, she can proclaim, she can prophesy, she can take what she hears from God and she can speak that back out, even in some groups, I would suppose. But what she's not called to is to stand up here and preach. She'll never be called to that. So there's no measure of faith given to a woman that would lead to prophecy from the pulpit. And I don't want to genderize these gifts other than that, but you know, so serving. My wife has a measure of faith that she's hospitality and serving. She serves people in our home often and well, and that's something that God's given her a great measure of faith to do. Before she was saved, she didn't do any of that. And as she's been saved, God supernaturally gave her that. Now, she doesn't have the same, she doesn't have as much measure of faith, right? She has not been given the same amount of, I don't want to use the word grace, but the same amount of faith in the area of, preaching or teaching. That's not something, I do more of the teaching of Sophia of spiritual things. Emily's learning to do that. But the measure of faith given. So we're not puffed up. So the main reason to remember out of that also is don't be puffed up like whatever you're able to do, God gave it to you. Use that for Him.
And so... Do we have to spend much time on the things we're not?
Good. I mean, so let's use an analogy. I think it was MacArthur when I was preparing this week. I think it was him who wrote on this and talked about a duck, I don't know, birds, bunnies, and something else. And said, you know, when the bunny tries to fly, it doesn't go that well. And he can try really hard to fly better, but... And I don't know if it's a bunny because the analogy worked, but trying to say, look, animals are different. And so one of the things we don't need to spend a lot of time on, because if God wants us to grow in the area of one of these other things, we don't. He will give us that grace to do those things, and we'll just start naturally doing them. So I would tell you, just do what you do for God, and then it will become clear, and you don't have to try to work at your deficiencies. Now, again, we're all called to give. So you don't get to say, well, I don't have to give at all. I don't have that gift. And that's not accurate. But the gift to give generously, that super giving, is a gift that comes to some. And that may come to you. I'm not saying you don't have that now. I'm saying that may grow in someone later. But here's what I want us to think about is today, I hope something hits you. And if nothing hits you, boy, you know, that's a little concerning. Because he says to everyone who is among you, every single Christian, you have been given a measure of faith. For... as we have many members in one body, so everybody in the body, and then y'all been given some of these things, and this is what you do, then do them. So, Brad, I would say do them. And don't chase after. So I want to have the, and I'm making it up, but you know, Bob says, I want to have the gift of prophecy. So I'm going to work really hard at being able to proclaim the gospel, preach the gospel, so that someday I can be a preacher. That will naturally come as he goes out and street preaches. As he proclaims that in his home, he'll see, and it'll be pretty obvious. You know, don't start aspiring for the better gifts like they did in the church at Corinth. You know, my wife might say, "Well, great, this whole serving thing's great, but I want to grow in the gift of giving. So I'm going to work really hard at giving away all my stuff." No. No, we have to give. We don't have to force these gifts. We can't manifest them. Don't know if that was helpful to your question or not. Bob? I would like to hear some testimonies of what you saw about you. That doesn't have to be this testimony. You can say whatever you're going to say. That was not...
So I think there was some clarity in what? For me personally, my gift is that God has measured out that measure of faith. But the main point of today's sermon, I think, that really hit home with me, and I think I was aware of it, but the importance of everybody being one part of the body, just as important it is for to have every organ and ear, eye, brain, mouth, nose that it takes to operate a body. As we function as a local assembly, and we have people that have exhortation and giving and leadership and the qualities there, I feel like we're very complete, and I think today's sermon for me just reinforced the necessity for that.
Good. And so if you would like, so I'll do it right now with you, just because, you know, Bob has God has given him giftedness in serving. He does that easily and well. Knows how to. He can take care of physical needs fairly well and sees them, and God's gifted him that way, and that's an area of giftedness, so he needs to be doing that. Which he does. You know, exhortation. Bob, I think you have more of a measure of faith in exhortation than you realize, and your fear keeps you from doing that. And as God continues to work that in you, as you do that, I think you'll see that to be true. Sarah.
So I can't really give testimony as far as seeing, you know, more clearly any of these than myself, but I was very encouraged and challenged by the message, and I slightly confused because I had a question. So just hypothetically, if I'm in a position where I find myself using, you know, these areas of giftedness, I guess, using them primarily for my family as I'm, you know, with my children and my husband, is that benefiting the body?
Of course it is.
That
of course it is, because
selfish.
the more you do those things with your children, you know, whatever it is you're best at. Now, again, as a mother, you're going to have lots of these things you're going to need to be doing to some level, but you have a measure of faith, you know, more for the body, but certainly that is, you know, again, don't diminish that. What is one of the main things the body of Christ is to do? What is the whole point? What's the epicenter of all history?
To proclaim the gospel.
The gospel.
And God's glory.
Right, proclaiming the gospel. So as you would do that with your children, you are doing your part. Now, it doesn't mean you ought not be serving the body in some way. And by the way, you know, you have lots of, and part of this might be Corey's gift that you've taken on, but you all, hospitality, serving, you all do that well. And you do that often, probably more often than you'd like, and I would encourage you not to have it be more often than you'd like. That's what I want us to really, also from today, is it talks about specifically in mercy, doing it cheerfully. But let's do all of these things to the glory of God. There's a lot. Let's repent of and turn from our complaining about doing the things that we're good at, that God's given us a measure of faith for.
So I want to have some encouragement, some exhortation for all the parents in general and the mothers in specific. And it involves on point C, the gift of teaching and discipling. So you're wondering, you know, boy, I got six kids and I'm pretty full up doing that. Look, if you're full up with your six kids discipling them and you're actively engaged all day long in discipling your children, you are doing exactly what this scripture says. If you're involved in discipling your children, and that's how we ought to view all we do in raising our children, as we have 18 years or whatever it is of discipling. So be encouraged in that and want to use the measure of faith that you have been given with your family to disciple them. And by the way, as you do that well, as you do that well, you are encouraging the rest of this congregation as we all get spurred on to love and good works by seeing other parents in our assembly being faithful at their discipling of their children. That's for all parents in this room. You know, the husbands generally go out and, you know, do other stuff, have other activities that they can hang their hats on. So, especially the mothers, be encouraged by that. When you disciple your children, you're doing exactly what the measure of faith that's been given to you is you're supposed to do.
So one of the gifts is prophecy. And so maybe you could expound a little bit upon the difference in street preaching and prophecy. And the gift of having...
I see no difference. What a street preacher is going to do is go out and prophesy. He's going to say what he's heard, and he's going to speak that. He's going to give God a voice out there in the public forum. That's what you're doing.
So is everyone, all men, called to do that?
Nope. You can see it's already working itself out somewhat. A lot of you men have tried it. You know, some of you, I think you could tell that was it was a fit. Others think, maybe it's not a fit. So no, I don't think every man's going to street preach. Now, but to some extent, we all must be proclaiming, prophesying, giving God a voice. Now, one of the things I hope you take out of this is, to prophesy is to give God a voice. Now that sounds kind of crazy, right? Like, maybe it sounds crazy. It sounds kind of humanistic. Not at all. Not at all. I didn't say give you a voice or give me a voice. Give God a voice. We are His voice. We are the bringers of His truths. God does not speak like this to people. You know, He doesn't talk to them like this. Jade, obey your parents.
It's not how it works.
How it works is we are the voice, so give God a voice. When you go to your workplace, give God a voice. You know, when you start talking about Christmas, when you start talking about the Ebola breakout, when you start talking about whatever's going on, give God a voice. One of the things that I do very imperfectly, but by God's grace I do lots of, is prophesy. I give God a voice, whatever setting I'm in. Again, not always, not perfectly, but I give God a voice and I'm not afraid of what's going to come back at me. When I sit with y'all and I counsel you or I shepherd you, I give God a voice. That doesn't mean, Timmy, I'm God, right? I'm not. Everything I say isn't godly. Clearly. But when you're being shepherded out of these scriptures, I am just giving God a voice. That's what it is to prophesy. Quit using your voice and give God a voice. Quit giving your opinions. What's God think about the Ebola virus? Is it a terrible thing that God thinks that's His judgment on humanity? Death. It's another form of death, is all that is. It's all it is. Barack Obama's really messing up. He can't really take care of the Ebola. Look at this horrible administration. And yep, you're right, because God wants Barack Obama to do something different. Wrong. It's God's sovereign plan that everybody who gets Ebola gets it. And it will work good for His people. Give God a voice. It's a short discussion sometimes. People don't like it. Because what they really want to do is give opinion after opinion about what each other thinks about all that. Give God a voice. And to know God's voice, you have to know His Word, don't you? That's how you prophesy. I don't know where we were. We were nowhere. Who else? Tyler, you always have thoughts about a sermon. No thoughts about the sermon today? Huh? You're waiting. Okay, it's your time. There's a lull in the action. I can always. Kevin's not here, so you got to pick up the slack a little bit.
So I mentioned this thought at lunch, and my wife was like, "Did Pastor say that?" And I said, "No, I just had this thought."
I heard from God.
Not quite.
Okay.
So I think it's interesting that coming off of the tales of Romans 12, 1 and 2, in the very first practical application piece, out of all the rest of the things it could have been, he starts with how we interact with the church.
So do you think maybe how we interact with the church is more important to God than how we interact with the culture? At our jobs even, maybe? Maybe? Sure seems like it, doesn't it?
Did you quote Jesus in the sermon today?
Did I quote Jesus?
I think so. Specifically in John 14?
Which part?
I feel this is how they'll know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, John. Yeah, that's what we close with.
Right. That's, I'm kind of making that.
Okay.
So what did Jesus say specifically, right before He got murdered? This is how they'll know you're My disciples, how you love one another.
So, Tyler, I think that's a wonderful observation.
I just think about, you know, so even where, you know, conversations Josh and I had or Brad and I have had, or I think about my own life and how easy most of the time my focus can be on my personal holiness, which is right and proper, but I don't start with how am I doing loving the church? How am I doing at using the gifts that God's given me to edify my brothers and sisters in Christ? And I remember mentioning that to Josh. And, you know, are you praying for your brothers and sisters? And I think we, because Paul starts here, it ought to have more weight for us, even in testing our salvation, than in, you know, we ultimately want to jump to, well, am I in sin, to test whether or not we're right with God.
It is not possible, part of your closing thought, it is not possible to be a Christian and not be serving His church. That doesn't add up. Now, what I hope this does is spurs his people on to love and good works, right? Spurs us on, because I, as I think of every single person in here that I believe is a believer, that's a member of this church, I see ways, almost everyone, I see ways they are serving this church, the body. Now, I think it could grow, and it will. So it's affirming for me to think about you all in that way. Now, some of you, I got to think longer than others, and that might not be good. But right, Tyler, it is important. It is right here. It is a test. Everything's a test of our salvation, right? It's a test. And again, Paul says, examine yourselves. See, don't you know that Christ is you, unless you fail the test? But I trust you won't. Tests don't mean we're going to fail. It's very affirming for me to prepare for this sermon, for instance. Because I can see, Tamara, I can see God's measure of faith. I can see God's giftedness in my life. I can see where He's brought the things together that I might use my giftedness that He's given me, His giftedness in me, for Him. And it's quite, you know, you could say, and I think I feel like this somewhat, it's pretty easy when you're a pastor. But I say that, then I look at all the people called pastors who don't do it for the body, don't do it for Christ, don't do it for God. But I am by God's grace forced to, I don't know what the right word is. I am encapsulated in using my gifts for His body. But so can you be. Tamara.
I love this sermon, but it showed me the areas that I feel like I'm gifted in, that when I'm in sinful places, I don't do these things. And, you know, I just was really convicted about that, that I should be using these things and get out of sin if I'm in sin,
so
and
that's
I don't
something
do those
that,
place things.
Look, that's a drum that we, the pastor in specific, has been beating for a long time. Would you please forsake your sin so you can go on to do the things that you're called to do? Can we please stop spending so much time on sin management so that we can focus on how we ought to be serving the body and evangelizing?
Wouldn't it be great if our meetings were really consistent of trying to figure out spiritual gifts and encouraging you in those instead of sin management? You know, again, get outside of yourself. Get outside of yourself. Serve the body. How are you going to serve the body and sin? How can you do those at the same time? Corey?
I think.
Did somebody else have the mic first? Corey.
So as Paul was going through those lists, is this an all-encompassing list, or is this a, here's a bunch of examples as he writes them out?
I would say it's not an exhaustive list, because we know in 1 Corinthians there's more gifts listed. There are many things that we are called to do, but I don't know. What I don't want to do is I'm trying to listen for why we're wondering about that. What I don't want to have us do is, okay, I don't have any of these, but I got this other one. It's called the gift of, I don't know, sleeping. You know, the body's got to rest and I do it well. You know, I mean, I'm being ridiculous, but people want to make up. I mean, you know, you do a spiritual gift test, there's like 65 of them. Because you can make up all these things. You know, I have the gift of, I've seen this. I have the gift of technology. I have the gift of the use of technology. There's no such gift. However, your use of look, Tammy serves this body in her understanding technology to whatever level she understands it, as she prepares bulletins and makes sure I have my sentences right and emails me. But her technology, it's not a gift of technology. Y'all don't have a gift of music. Something you ought to think about is, as being up here, You ought to be teaching. That's what you're doing up here. You're teaching. You're taking these lyrics that are good lyrics, that are solid lyrics, and you're teaching them. You have a gift of music. Although, we certainly have people singing and playing, but there's no gift of music in here. You don't get to use that as your spiritual gift. Mercy. Some of you have the gift of mercy. Kathy, I don't know, you're a baby Christian, so we're going to see the measure of faith, but I have a feeling you'll have the gift of mercy. As much as you may not think that about yourself. Because I watch you want to care for your mother. I watch you want to care for people that are sick. Corey, were you still going?
Yeah, so the reason I asked that question was because as you go through that list, I can identify some in myself or my wife, but the question I wonder is, does anyone in here not see something? And you had kind of addressed that in the very beginning.
So I hope everyone sees themselves in here somewhere. Because some of them, you know, super giving, no, but we have to give. Hello, Brother Kevin. Welcome home. Tammy?
No, how long have you been going? Well, you normally keep
ready
that
to be done. Okay. Mrs. Sandercock, I don't know. I thought it was Bodie and somebody else a little. Well, you are little. That's true.
There's a couple things. You're not going to let the mic after me. There's a couple things that struck me in the sermon. One was, you know, when you were talking about the scripture that says, you know, why do you boast as if it was yours, basically, when you've been given it? And thinking about how I think I have used that, but backwards. Acting like I don't have something that God has given me.
And that's not sober thinking either.
No, it's not. So that was something that I took out of it. And also I can really grasp the concept that what I have, I've been given. It just frees you up, you know, and it frees everybody else up too.
Yeah, because see, non-believers can even, I mean, I think my son Nicholas recognizes that all his abilities are God-given. Would you say that's accurate? So God gives him abilities. But that's totally different than giftedness, like we talk about to use for the body. Part of that is recognizing God's given us those things and these ministries, and they're His. And they're to be, and you're freed up then to use them for Him. It's exactly what we are. See, I don't even know what kind of a preacher I am. But I am not puffed up by being a good preacher, nor am I discouraged that some people don't like the way I preach. I know God's given me that measure of faith. And part of the reason I know it is because that's what happens. And I am freed up then to use that and not concern myself with how good I am or how bad I am.
Will there always be a desire with the gift?
Well, I believe there ought to be because, you know, I think we because of our flesh, because of our self-centeredness, we don't want to do that. God, my mom has the gift of mercy. She just does, right? And yet there's times she'll complain about having to do that. Okay? It says cheerfully in mercy. It's not the only one. Right? Everybody, yep. So, you know, God loves a cheerful giver. You know, that's we ought not give begrudgingly. And certainly not the ones who have been given the gift of giving. So I do believe there, in the spirit, there's definitely desire. In the flesh, no, there's no desire. This is being killed and crucified. So, yes, there is, and it's not proper. Let's kill it. So no more excuses. Whatever God